All right, so this is Sean here with Commissioner Ben in the bedroom of our lovely cottage. And really, what we're trying to do right here is just talk about the history of the league, how we got to this point. And Ben, I'm going to need you to tell me how's the league looking at this point?
I would say strong to very strong is
Okay.
the words I would describe this league with. It's I guess you say it could say the history of the league. This is our fourth year,
Fourth year.
so this is kind of the love child, I guess you would say, of our group of friends here. Most of us being in our, I guess you'd say, mid to late 20s. We
Yeah.
decided needed something to reconnect, from high school. So this league was the perfect venue for that, I guess you would say.
And now it's really all coming together. We've got a lovely winner's trophy, and we've got a horrible, horrible loser's trophy. And actually, I'm just gonna it's the Vendo, and I think we're just gonna leave it at that. Everyone in the league knows it is the Vendo. But tell me about the winner's trophy, what we're playing for.
Sure. So I'll start with the loser's trophy because we've actually had the loser's trophy longer than the winner's trophy. Kind of a backwards route, I guess you would say. So we all do know the vendo and the meaning behind it and what it entails. But with the winner's trophy, I was just kind of thinking a couple weeks ago. Hey, new league season's coming up. We probably need to be playing for something a little more than just bragging rights. So, of course, I got on the line, Amazon.com. Thank you. Cut the check.
Yeah, Overlord Jeff Bezos. God King Overlord Bezos.
We could use some sponsorship money for this podcast. So go ahead and cut the check, Amazon. I found a great trophy. Obviously, most of us in this. All of us, I guess you would say, in this league enjoy a nice stiff cock tail now and then. So, we got the football decanter, and
It's
it's.
it sits on a multi-layered base,
Yeah,
much like a wedding
it's
cake.
it does kind of look like a wedding cake with a crystal football on top of it that you can fill with booze.
My God.
And what more could you want? So I went ahead and splurged to get the name of our league put on there, one league to rule them all. And then we have the last three winners are the only three winners. 2015 Michael Curtis Cayley, and then the following year was Ethan Roebuck and our defending champion Thomas Bernard Horn. So
2017, yeah.
their names are on there. And winners can drink from the chalice, no one else can touch it, is the ruling, I suppose. So
I don't think the Stanley Cup, the whatever it is in golf, where they, the Masters, they've got their trophies. I don't.
Clare and Jug,
Right, right.
the British Open,
I'm
yes.
not sure any of those have much on our trophy.
I don't think so. I would
It's got a
agree.
little bit more tradition, maybe a few more winners etched into it, a few more decades or whatever. But other than that, I'm not sure. As far as aesthetically, I don't think it's got much on the one league to rule them all winner's trophy.
I would agree with you. I think we are, like I said, this is our fourth year, so we're looking to edge a fourth name. I'm hoping to get on that list. I know you are as well.
Absolutely.
But the defending champions on draft weekend get to drink from the decanter, and they've been rubbing in our face a little bit. So they're making it hurt. They're making it
They've
hurt.
slammed some white Russians for the out-of-towners, whom I can't help but note are not on the winners. They have zero plaques
Not
of
one.
the
Not
out-of-towners.
one.
I mean, they've just been slamming white Russians out of the crystal football.
Well, of course, being in Indiana, being all of us from Indiana, we're all very, very familiar with the tradition of drinking milk after the Indy 500.
Sure.
So,
They gone
the
hand
best
in
milk
hand.
the best milk-based cocktail we can all think of is the White Russian. So, White Russians have seemed to be the drink of choice from the Winner's Cup so far. Obviously, that could change in years to come, but for this weekend at least, it seems like the White Russian is the drink of choice. So we'll keep going with that as long as it wants to run.
I mean, we've seen that drip down the winner's chins. Some bearded, some not, but winners nonetheless.
I don't really want to talk about it because it makes me filled with anger.
No, but that's what makes this league good, is that there's plenty of... All right, the out-of-towners obviously suck dick.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we don't need to name them individually, but we will.
Clay Chumbrand, you know, yeah. You guys can just all go jump off a cliff, obviously. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're...
They will never drink from it until they make it to a draft weekend.
Most likely not, you know. It seems difficult to envision any of them... ever claiming that trophy
without being physically present.
Right, you know, because it's not just the physical presence, but it's also the emotional presence, I guess you would say, of the league. You know, even sexual presence, if you wanted to go that far.
I do.
So, you know, it just means a lot to all of us to be here. Like I said, you know, we're all just a great group of friends from high school brought together. From running, you know, miles and miles on end for no apparent reason, but this is just a great way for all of us to get back together and enjoy a weekend of camaraderie and of ridicule is a good also another adjective, I guess you would say.
You would say we're putting the cum in camaraderie.
We are. We have put the cum in camaraderie several times. Some more than others, but I just think that it's a great display of our friendship, you know, this weekend to you know, get the league year restarted and get it back going. So
speaking of getting the 2018 started, Tom is the defending champion. His team name.
Escapes me. Right, yeah, I mean, you know, the team names change several times. Sure. You know, I think we don't really dwell on it too much because most people will change their name after a loss or two. but yeah, Tom, you know, he had Todd Gurley last year, which obviously 50% or so of overall league winners last year from my podcast listening. Won their league, so Tom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Okay. From the Fancy Focus Boys.
The research you've done.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of research. I'm like.
No, that's why you're the commissioner.
Trying to get my name on that trophy. So, so Tom had Todd Gurley last year. He rode him to a playoff victory.
Let's not discount his white knight.
Gronkowski and the kicker as well.
Steven Goskowski.
Goskowski.
Which Gronkowski. Tom. Let's be clear. Tom uses those names interchangeably.
Correct, he does. He doesn't really know the difference between the two.
Despite that fact, the points still go to his team.
He just knows they both play for the Patriots, and they are both, you know. And he got the W last year, so we can't really complain about.
I think Tom's racism went quite a bit towards his win as champion. I think. Him drafting a bevy of white players in the early rounds. I believe he was the first to take a white player in Rob Gronkowski in the first round. And he was the first to take a kicker when he took Goskowski. And I think his racism really helped him, as well as Todd being an overwhelmingly white name. And as we all know, Tom knows nothing about football, so he probably thought Todd was like some Californian like white surfer guy who, like a Christian McCaffrey or something, who was a white running back. So Tom's racism, I think, really played well into... it played into his hands last year. I'm not sure if it's going to play into his hands this year.
Well, you know, we have our draft coming up in about an hour and a half or so.
Yeah, hour and a half. Yeah.
We're here on beautiful Lake Wawasee for you out-of-towners that decided to skip out.
Yeah.
You know, go jump, go do what you want to do.
I think we'll give Brandon a minor pass.
Brandon did get married
this weekend. He had a life event.
You know, it's he did get married this weekend, which I guess you could claim as a halfway respectable excuse.
We'll give him a yellow card.
Yeah, you know.
Cozart and Clayton.
Clayton's son got Clayton, baptized this
red
weekend.
Card.
We
don't give a fuck.
We could have baptized him here on Lake Wawasee. We offered, you know, they declined. And then Cozart, you know, he's literally not even, he's an hour and a half from us right now. He's apparently somebody else is getting married. I don't know why he even has other friends than us.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. So anyway, but with the draft coming up, I think it's a good idea just to kind of mention, you know, the draft order and how
sure.
how
okay.
it's going to be coming our way.
Let's
so,
get into this.
You know, we just got done completing, maybe an hour or two ago, a pretty extensive competition to determine this order of Super Smash 64 competition and also some cornhole toss.
It's no drawing names out of hats.
No, we're not messing around. You know, last year the trip to DC with the arcade ticket situation was pretty fun, although Corbin really did end up on the wrong end of the stick, even though he won with his David Johnson selection, breaking his wrist in the first game, and which obviously led to Corbin winning the Vendo. I guess you could say winning the Vendo is a loose term, I suppose.
Yeah. So last year we were doing whoever won the draft order competition got first pick in the draft. This year we did a little something different, and whoever won the draft order competition with the Super Smash Brothers and the cornhole toss got to be the first to select their order in the draft, which I believe Ethan did.
Yeah, we changed it up a little bit. You know, obviously maybe with the snake draft format, the winner may not necessarily want the first pick. And, you know,
right.
you get the first pick, but then you don't get to pick again until pick number 20.
So Ethan selected
pick number three, I think.
Yeah,
you know, he took number three.
Sure.
I don't want to speculate.
Ten-man league, it should be noted.
Yeah, ten-man league for everyone. You know, Sean, Cozart, you probably don't really realize this, but we did I ejected my own cousin from the league this summer. It was a tough decision.
Guys, the dedication of our commissioner. Dropping a few bills on this beautiful winner's trophy and then ousting his own cousin, his own flesh and blood from... Yeah, we'll let it slide. his legal flesh and blood from the competition. So we're a 10-man competition. It's a lot cleaner than 11-man. My God, two buys? Let me just say, I believe this is only my second year in the league, but the league is a lot cleaner this year. It's a lot more streamlined. It's a lot professional. And by a lot cleaner, I don't mean no Jews. I mean it's just efficient.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I think year one we started off with 9 and it was kind of messy, and then we had 10 and you know, McAvoy came back from the dead, so he won it.
Sure,
in.
Sure.
You know, so we had 11 and you know, basically, you know, Josh was ejected, you know, due to lack of hustle, so to speak. So we're back to 10. We're feeling good right now. We like where we're at.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't really anticipate any future changes, but you know, never say never. So anyway, you know, we're sitting at a 10-man league with Ethan winning the most recent competition. He selected the third pick.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to kind of, I guess, knock himself down a little bit so he get a higher pick on the rebound coming back around.
Let's be honest, Ethan doesn't know shit.
Well, you know, he does have a magazine.
He bought the magazine.
he was researching using a magazine that I think had the Rams defense ranked higher than Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle.
Jack Doyle, which obviously we all know and love, but I'm not going to share my personal strategy because the draft hasn't happened yet. Again, we're a couple hours out. We're going to take the boat out and draft in the middle of Lake Wawasee, which is going to be awesome for you out-of-towners. You know, you guys are really missing out. But,
right.
You know, I don't really feel strongly for Ethan's chances of winning again, although his name is on the trophy. So
we've had zero repeat winners to date.
Yeah, correct. I mean, again, this is just year number four, so we don't have any repeat winners. I doubt Tom's going to repeat.
Oh, there's no fucking way. He's already stated his intent to draft Gronk again in the first round.
He's going tight end kicker 1-2, so I doubt that's going to happen. But who knows? You know, I mean, who would have thought that... I warned you about this. I was going to go off on a rant. Last year, I was able to pick up a late-round pick by the name of Alvin Kamara off the waiver wire. And
what happened, Ben?
Well, you know, he concussed himself on the 5-yard line. That really cost me my chances to beat Tommy in the championship game. Sure. So that's the great thing about fantasy football. You just never know what's going to happen. You could end up picking up a guy off the waivers or in the late rounds that could make or break your league for you.
Yeah, so some goddamn retard like Tom might be able to win the league. And then someone who knows an awful lot about football, such as Mr. Detmer or yourself, might just be left holding their dick looking on at the champion game from the sidelines.
You know, it is kind of funny because the only two actual football participants in our league are John and Brandon, who actually participated in high school football.
And they just gag on the balls. I mean, they fucking suck.
I would agree. You know, I think they're awful. They're not good. Neither of them have their name on the trophy at this point, and I don't anticipate either of them putting their name on the trophy this coming year, especially Brandon.
That would be an outside shot.
You know, if
the Vegas odds are not good for Mr. Bennett.
If
the newly married Mr. Bennett.
Newly married Mr. Bennett, congratulations. I you know, if we're putting some odds on victory this year, especially after the draft order, which again, you know, snake draft, maybe it matters, maybe it don't.
Sure.
I would have to say, just to
make a prediction right
here? Yeah, I would say Cozart and Brandon are at the bottom of the list of possible winners,
as out of towners are wont to be.
Yeah, you know, they. I just don't see the dedication. I haven't seen it yet.
Sure.
Know, maybe they'll hear this and light a fire and they'll start.
It might.
But you know, Mr. Cozart in particular always says, "Hey, why don't you come out and we'll do the draft in Florida? We'll do the draft in North Carolina, wherever the hell he's living." Uh-huh. And again, my answer is always the same thing. You know, win the fucking league and we'll go wherever you want. You know,
yes, it's exactly.
It's not that hard.
Pretty simple.
Pretty simple. You know, so Corbin this year was throwing a bitch fit about the draft and the location, and it's pretty simple. You know, just win and. Just win, baby, and we'll go wherever you want. So yeah. That's how it works. But
so I think that's been a good intro to a little bit of background on the league. And here we've got the league commish giving it to you guys straight. So for all the guys outside playing board games and N64, when you're listening to this next week, I think this will be a good look at what the commissioner's mindset is going into this. It'll be a good kind of recap of what you've been through. Because you don't really know where you're going until you know where you've been, I think. And so I think that's what we've cleared up here. That's where we've been and where we're going. It's only good things. So to all the out-of-towners, to all the draft attendees, good luck, God bless, you're all a bunch of front holes, and good luck in the draft. So
right, you know, and
any last words, Commish?
Well, yeah, you know, speaking of, you know, where we're going, we're going on the boat here in about an hour to do our draft, and as we've discussed, we'll probably be back in this same podcast studio / spare room in our Airbnb on Wawa Sea to go ahead and do a little draft recap. You're not just going to hear from me, and you're not just going to hear from Sean.
That's true.
We're actually going to have a little window of time, you know, maybe 5 minutes or so, for each participant to come in after the draft, of course. They'll come in, we'll do just a recap of their team real quick, you know, go through their picks, mm-hmm. and we'll let each team owner, manager, or whatever you want to call it, defend their team, kind of raise their team up, give a little
talk.
Give a little pep talk, you know, let them know why, you know, they'll just tell us why do they think that this is going to be the year for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, keep listening, keep your ears to the ground, and by the ground I mean this podcast.
Yep.
You know, here in another maybe a couple hours, and,
yep.
and we'll go through that. You know, obviously I'll be pumping my team up real hard, hoping to get
real hard.
Again, not gonna share my strategy. I've been practicing. I've been putting in the work. I've been practicing my words.
Listen to this podcast.
Whittling sticks. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I am ready to get this draft on. What about you, Sean? Are you ready?
I'm ready. So I'm ready to cut this commissioner off. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna say good luck to the auto drafters, to the out of towners, to the in draft.
Who's the auto drafters?
So here we go. We will be back in a few hours with the team owners as they justify their picks. And stay tuned every week as we give recaps for the week that was in the one league to rule them all.
Let's do it.
See you soon. Benjamin, how long do you think that was?